We're looking together at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be a pew. There should be one on the pew in front of you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There are many here this morning who need to heed carefully what I'm going to say. 2 Chronicles 20, I want you to take a look at verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12. Now, I'm going to put it in its context in a few moments, but I want you to see 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. This is part of a prayer. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. We have no power. We have no power to face this vast army. And then in his prayer, he says, Lord, we do not know what to do. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. His name was Jehoshaphat. Unlike many who had preceded him, Jehoshaphat was a very, very good king. He was, in fact, the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Jehoshaphat became king at the age of 35, and he reigned as king in Judah for some 25 years. It was King Jehoshaphat who led in bringing the southern kingdom of Judah back to God. Now, how did he do that? He did it by having all of the idols and all of the idolatry taken down from the land of Judah. King Jehoshaphat did something very unique for his time. King Jehoshaphat instructed men to go out among the people and to teach the people the law of God, so that the people would know this is what God expects and this is how we are to live as his people. Now, as a result of this, revival swept the southern kingdom of Judah. Blessings began to come down upon the land and the people from God. As a result of this, blessings came. As a result of this, prosperity was the order of the day. And under the reign of King Jehoshaphat, everything was great and life was grand. Until we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verse 1. Look at it. After this, the Moabites and Amorites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Verse 2. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. Now, brethren, I want you to understand what's going on here in context. So let me explain this, and you need to follow. King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah are now facing certain destruction. The enemies, and there were many of them, the enemies are now closing in on the southern kingdom of Judah. From a human standpoint, there is no way that Judah can win this war. From a human standpoint, there is no way that Judah is even going to survive this. All hope is lost. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. All hope is gone. So Jehoshaphat gathers all of the people together. And as a nation, Jehoshaphat does the only thing he knows to do. Jehoshaphat begins to pray. Brethren, listen to me. When all is lost, you can still pray. When there is no way to turn, it is always right to pray all the time and in every place you can pray. So Jehoshaphat gathers everybody together and he begins to pray. Drop down to verse number 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, and now here is Jehoshaphat leading the nation in prayer. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Now you understand what he's saying? God, you are the God in heaven. You are the God who holds every other nation and every other people right there in your hands. You are the one who's in control. You are the one who is in charge. Drop down to verse 10. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He's now listing the enemies who are coming against them. Now drop down to verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? That is, will you not bring judgment upon the enemies who are coming to destroy us? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. Listen to me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a circumstance that was so dire that you were absolutely powerless to do anything about it? Have you ever been in a situation that was so bleak that you didn't know what to do? The truth is, there are people all over this auditorium who are in that situation right now. You don't know what to do. Maybe it's family trouble. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Your marriage is about over. You'd like to help it. You want this fixed, but you're working with somebody who doesn't. So you're powerless on your own to fix this, and you do not know what to do. Maybe you have a son or a daughter, a teenager. And they have turned from what they have been taught all their lives. And they are wreaking havoc upon the home. And they're wreaking havoc upon your mental and emotional state. And you've tried everything and nothing works. And as you sit here this morning, you don't know what to do. Maybe the situation you face this morning is financial reversal. You're looking for a job, or you need a job, and you filled out resume, and you've talked to everybody you know, and you've been everywhere, and you need help, and now you don't know what to do. How am I going to put food in people's mouths? How am I going to put clothes on backs and a roof overhead? And you're powerless. You don't know what to do. Maybe it's sickness. And you've taken the test. And you're waiting for the diagnosis. And you don't know what it is. You don't know what they're going to say. And you don't know what is involved in it. Or maybe you've already received the diagnosis and the diagnosis wasn't good and you are powerless. You are powerless on your own against what you stand against this morning, and you don't know what to do. That's where Judah was. That's where Jehoshaphat was. We have no power against what is coming against us. We don't know what to do. So, all right. What are you supposed to do when you don't know what to do? Now, I want you to listen to me, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. Nobody can help you if you will not listen. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Say, well, he thinks he's all that. Listen, no, he doesn't. But here's what I know. If a carpenter comes into my house with a hammer and fixes something, I don't praise the hammer, I praise the carpenter. I'm just the hammer. I'm just the voice. But I'm telling you, God can help you. I'm telling you, Jehoshaphat was a really, really good man. He can help, but I'm telling you, nobody, including God, can help you if you're not willing to listen. So what to do when you don't know what to do? I want you to notice the three things that King Jehoshaphat did when he didn't know what to do. Number one, when you don't know what to do, what you should do is stay focused on the one who can help. You hear me? When you don't know what to do, stay focused on the one who can help. Now look at verse 12 one more time, except this time we're going to read all of it. O our God, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. When you don't know what to do, what you need to do is fix your eyes on God. Why? Because He knows what to do. You understand? When I was a little boy, my mother and father used to put me in a car and we would head south. South being Tennessee. So we would drive through Ohio and we would drive through Kentucky. And when I was a kid, this is what fascinated me. I'd look out the window and there were cornfields. And it was corn as far as the eye could see, there was corn. And all of the furrows, all of the rows were just perfectly straight. And I used to think, how do these guys make these rows so straight, just as far as you can see, the furrows were just perfect? So I asked my dad, how do they do this? And he went through some long diatribe because he didn't have a clue. God delivered me from people who just talk and talk and talk and talk and just keep talking. So my mother knew he didn't have a clue. So my mother turned to me and said, listen, when we get down south, ask your uncle how to do it. He's a farmer. Now, my uncle was spooky. You got any scary relatives? Yes, you do. And if you don't, you it. He was scary. He was real quiet. Now, he was my uncle. He was real quiet because he was my uncle by marriage. Married my dad's sister, and my uncle never spoke because my aunt never shut up long enough for the man to talk. Deliver me from these people who just talk and talk and talk. So I got around him, big, tall, slender, just a stoic kind of guy. Nicest guy in the world, but I'm just always afraid of him. So I said, now, Uncle Nathan, I said, why don't you explain these rows to me? Now, I don't know how they do it now, but 50 years ago, this is how they did it. This is what he said. He said, boy, come here. He said, what you do is you fix your eyes out there on an immovable object, like a farmhouse or a great big old tree. And then you get behind the plow, you fix your eyes out there on that immovable object, and then you just start marching toward that object. And he says, regardless of what's going on around you, he says, you just keep your eyes fixed out there on that object, and you keep going. Let me tell you something. That'll make your Christian life straight too. When you don't know what to do, when you're in a circumstance where you have no clue, you fix your eyes out there on the Lord, and regardless of what's going on around you, you just stay focused on the one who can help you, and don't you turn to the left, don't you turn to the right, Focus on Him who can help you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Seeing we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Verse 2, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The only way that any of us can successfully run the Christian race, and the only way that we can win this race is we have to fix our eyes upon Jesus. When you don't know what to do, just focus on the one who can help you. He knows what to do. During World War II, there were many Christians who were imprisoned with the Jews in Nazi concentration camps. Brethren, listen to me. Listen to me. One of the most underreported stories of that time is the many, many Christians who ended up in those concentration camps with the Jewish people. There was a Christian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer who ended up in a Nazi concentration camp. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian. Bonhoeffer was in fact a great thinker, and he helped churches to mature. But when Hitler rose to power, Bonhoeffer ended up in a concentration camp. And Bonhoeffer told himself, I'm going to do in this camp what I did on the outside of this camp. I'm going to tell people about God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's motto in that concentration camp was 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Where we have no power on our own to defeat this vast enemy. We don't know what to do, but we're going to keep our eyes on God. And Bonhoeffer told the Christians and the Jews who were with him, we can't beat these people. We don't know what to do, but we're going to keep our eye on God. And God is going to deliver us. And he taught people in that camp, you focus on the one who can help you when you don't know what else to do. Three days. Before the Allied forces liberated that camp, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed. But when that camp was liberated, the only thing that those Jewish people and those Christians talked about was Bonhoeffer. The man who taught us to focus on God. The man who taught us that even in life, when circumstances are just hellish, when you don't know what to do, you focus on God. Listen to me. If you're here, if you're in a situation where you have no clue what to do, I'm telling you, that when nothing else is right, you have to keep looking at the one that you know who can help you, and that's God. Do you really think in your situation that if you turn and walk away from God, it's going to get better? Do you really think that in the situation where you're in that's so bleak that becoming unfaithful to the only one who can help is somehow going to encourage your situation? What to do when you don't know what to do? Number one, you focus on the one who can help you. Number two, listen to me. This is where we trip. Number two, what to do when you don't know what to do? You stay focused on the one who you know can help you. And number two, when you don't know what to do, here's what you do. Remember, the battle is not yours, it's God's. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Jehoshaphat's prayer has ended. And now a prophet has rose up, and a prophet is now going to give them a word from God. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. He said, he now is the prophet. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Now this is the word of the Lord in their situation. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Brethren, are you listening? The reason that they didn't know what to do is because they were trying to win a battle they were never intended to fight. You hear me? And this is what we do. This is what we do. We make a mess out of things. We make a mess out of faith. And the reason we're making a mess out of faith is that we're out there trying to fight a battle that God is going to fight. Whole 2 Chronicles. I'm taking a couple minutes to do this. I don't care what time it is. Whole 2 Chronicles 20. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. Don't you ever forget this. Now, if you understand the difference, that's good. But if you don't understand the difference, you understand it now. Romans 8:28, everybody quotes it, but familiar scripture needs to be studied more carefully. Here's how we usually translate that verse, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for God to those who are called according to His purpose. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And that's how we quote that. But do you understand? That's not exactly the way that verse is translated. Listen to how the verse is translated. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. You understand that? There's a difference between all things working together for good. There's a difference between that and all things God works for the good. You say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. You and I are not the one who are in control. You and I are not the one who has to get out there and work everything out for the good. That's God's business. Now here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. The devil knows that he cannot defeat God. The devil knows he's subject to the power and authority of God. So what does smutty face do? What does he do? He turns his attention to you and I, the children of God. Are you listening? And so listen to me. So he brings all this drama into our lives. All of this. And so here is, you know, we are overcome with tragedy, and we're overcome with sadness, and we're overcome with heartbreak, and we're overcome with devastation. And we say, look, I don't know what to do. I can't fix this. Then get out of the way and let God fix it. There has never been a fight too big. There has never been a heartache so deep. There has never been a question too hard that God couldn't handle. When you don't know what to do, what you need to know is remember, the battle is not yours, the battle is God's. You say, then what is my place in the battle? Here's our place in the battle. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your job and my job is to seek spiritual things first. You say, but no, I got to get out of here and do. No, no, you don't. You have to seek spiritual things first. You say, but no, I can do this. No, 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 no. It's in a mess because you out there doing it. Your job is to seek spiritual things first. And when you do your job, when you stay faithful, when you seek spiritual things first, then God's job is to respond to what you have done by giving you what you need. It is useless. It is useless for you and I to sit around every day and worry about whether or not God is going to do His job. You stop worrying about God and start worrying about yourself. You do what you ought to do and God will do what He ought to do. But until you step up and get something done, don't look to Him to do His part. Enemies are coming from everywhere. It's over. All hope is lost. When all is lost, when you don't know what to do, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stay focused on the one who can help you. You're supposed to remember, this is God's battle. It's not yours. You do what God told you to do and let God worry about the rest of this mess. Number three. What are you supposed to do when you don't know what to do? Sometimes you're supposed to just stand firm. Stand firm. Look at verse 17. 2 Chronicles 20. Look at verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. Listen, brethren, listen to me. I know that time is gone, but listen to me. When you don't know what to do, sometimes the best thing to do is just stand firm. Well, what does that mean? Here's what that means. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, the best thing in the world to do is keep still. keep still. Because many times tragedy comes, heartbreak comes, and when it comes, we immediately react to it. But sometimes our immediate reaction to it is wrong. It's wrong. And so we end up doing the wrong thing, or we end up reacting and doing something that we then regret for the rest of our lives. The sad testimony of many Christians, the sad testimony, is that we make decisions, important decisions, life-changing and life-altering decisions without ever consulting God or a spiritual person about it. Your whole life is about to change and you haven't prayed 5 minutes about it. And then we wonder why our lives get in a mess. We get in a mess because when we don't know what to do, we're not focusing on the one who can help us. It's a mess because we think we got to get out there and fix it instead of letting God fight the battle. It's a mess because we think we got to react every time somebody says boo to us. What are you supposed to do when you don't know what to do? You're supposed to fix your eyes and stay focused on the only one who can help this. You're supposed to remember, this battle isn't mine because I'm powerless in it. This battle is the Lord's. And sometimes what you're supposed to do is keep still. Now let me tell you the part of this I haven't told you. As a result of them doing those three things, the enemy came in. God confused the enemy, and the enemy ended up killing themselves. And it took God's people 3 days to strip the gold and silver off their dead carcasses. What to do when you don't know what to do? Listen to me. Life is tough. Life is tough. And sometimes it's so tough that we don't know what to do. The good news is when you don't know what to do, all you got to do is keep looking to the one who does know what to do. There are many of you this morning who are in that situation. There are many of you this morning, you're in a circumstance right now, you're powerless. And you're thinking what I need to do is get out and fix this. What you need to do is get right and stay right with God. That's what you need to do. Because if you leave here and if you leave God, you've left the only one who can help you. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You say, why? Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How can you dare leave here and say you're a Christian when you haven't done the very thing that Jesus said you have to do to be saved? If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've let your situation take you away from God and you've lost your focus, you need to refocus right here and right now. You've listened. And now that we've listened, it's time that we act. If you're not right with God, you get right with God. You stay focused on Him, and God will carry the day. If you need to respond, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.